This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan with Lim Soo Ann and Kelly Anisa. So before the break, we were talking about a recent study that says white lies may decrease our ability to be empathetic in our relationships. Now, in connection to our second story, we have been running a poll on Twitter.
On which we're asking you, is Jawi Okhad an important part of our Malaysian culture that should be preserved? So 65% of you actually voted yes, it should be, while 35% of you thinks that no, it shouldn't. So you can also take that poll or tweet us any of your thoughts at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can also call to share your thoughts at 0377-332900.
So we are asking you that because last week the Education Ministry announced that Khat or Jawi calligraphy will be introduced in our government schools as part of the Standard 4 Bahasa Melayu syllabus. The move, however, has sparked a lot of backlash from the public.
Yeah, and a lot of the criticism has come from members of civil society. So the Chinese education and language activists have been particularly vocal, and the social media pages of various DAP leaders have been flooded with angry comments in response to the issue, many of whom described the move as undermining their community, while others complained that it was an unnecessary burden to students who already have quite a lot on their plate.
Yeah, and furthermore, a statement by Deputy Education Minister Teo Ni Ching saying her ministry is engaging with various groups on the best way to include Khat in the BM syllabus, which has more than 35,000 mostly angry comments. So other criticisms of the announcement include many netizens saying that there were other subjects or topics that would be more important to focus on.
Yeah, and as a component party of the Pakatan Harapan government, the DAP is bearing quite a bit of the brunt on this issue, with many members, even within the DAP, disagreeing with the move to introduce Khat in schools. So this is despite party leader Lim Kit Siang himself coming out to say that learning Jawi does not erode the Chinese identity, and that he himself learned Jawi when he was detained under the ISA in 1969. So meanwhile, the MCA has also come out to say that Khat should be taught as part of extracurricular activities instead of within the Bahasa Melayu syllabus.
So the DAP is supposedly meeting today to decide on its official stand on the on this issue. But meanwhile, over the weekend, our Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad has dismissed the protest against the issue and saying it was only a small group of people.
Right.
Yeah. So for some context, here's what we know so far. According to Education Minister Dr. Mazli Malik, Khat will be a part of the Bahasa Melayu syllabus starting from Standard 4 next year. However, students will not be tested on this, and Dr. Mazli said that this will apply to students of all levels.
So I do think it's important to define some of these terms so that it's clear what exactly we're talking about, because I think there's a bit of confusion and then a lot of reactionary comments without really knowing what it is we're talking about in the first place. So let's first start with Jawi. So Jawi, you know, it needs to be made clear that Jawi is not the Arabic language. Jawi is actually the Arabic script. So the letters, the writing is Arabic. However, the language is actually used to write the Malay language. So this is so Jawi is Arabic script that's used to write Malay. And this is also used in other languages in the Southeast Asian region, like Achenese, Minangkabau, Tausug in the Philippines. And this is very similar to other languages in the world, which are not Arabic languages, but use the Arabic script. So this includes languages like Urdu, Pashto, Persian, and even Hausa in Nigeria have the Arabic script, but are not Arabic languages.
Yeah, and it also should be made clear that Jawi in itself is a script and it isn't necessarily Islamic or religious.
Right, yeah.
Because I think that's where most of the misunderstanding stems from.
Yeah, and no, like the examples you said, Sharmila, if you look at our English language, we use Roman alphabets, right? But if you look at languages like French, Italian, they all use the same alphabets, but it's a different language.
Right, even BM in the modern sense, we use the Roman alphabets, but they're all different languages. So the proposal is not suggesting that we teach Arabic in our schools. They're suggesting that we teach Jawi. And in fact, Jawi is actually the script that the Malay language has been written in Malaysia and in the Malay archipelago for hundreds of years before the arrival of the Portuguese and Dutch and British colonization. And that was a point at which we slowly started adopting the Roman alphabets.
Yeah, but there's also a bit of difference between Jawi and Khat. Jawi is the written language, Khat is calligraphy, and in this case, it would be Jawi calligraphy.
So actually, until 1966, the Jawi script was compulsory teaching in schools. But after it was abolished, its usage had declined, and currently Jawi script is mainly used in religious organizations like mosques and Islamic schools.
But from speaking to people, though, while we couldn't get sort of definitive answers, it does seem like Jawi continued to be offered as an optional subject in our government schools for non-Muslim students until at least the early 1980s. If anyone listening has more specific information or has their own experiences to share, please do let us know, because you know, there isn't sort of solid answers. Some people seem to have learned it until the 80s. Some people even in the 70s said they never learned it in school. But to get an idea of Jawi's history within Malaysian cultural history, I did speak earlier today to Edin Koo, who is the founder of Pusaka, and here's what he had to say. So, Edin, what are your thoughts on the plan to introduce Khat or Jawi as part of the Bahasa Malaysia syllabus in our government schools?
Yeah, there seems to be quite a lot of confusion, even within the ministry itself in the explanation, in that Khat and Jawi are not the same thing. Jawi is a particular kind of script, and Khat is a stylized, basically artistic expression of that script. So they are two very different things, and there seems to be a lot of confusion whether they are actually introducing the teaching of Jawi or the practice of Khat.
Yeah, because they do seem to be saying at one point that it's about preserving the older language aspects of Bahasa Malaysia, but then on the other hand, they're also referring to it as a art, as an art form, right?
Yes, but it's I don't see how they would be teaching Khat if they don't actually teach Jawi first.
Right. Okay. So in that sense, the fact that it is coming under the BM syllabus, it would make sense because you do need to learn it as a language, right?
Yes, I'm fully supportive of this because I think the teaching of languages in our schools is thoroughly insipid, and there is no inspiring aspect, no historical aspect, no cultural aspect of the language at all. It is confined to basically communicative skills, reading and writing, very basic rudimentary instruction. So for me, you know, that kind of instruction is the best way to kill any love for any language, is to teach it in that kind of really insipid way. Jawi is so crucial to the evolution of the Malay language. The Romanized script, I think, was only used about 100 years ago, maybe a little more. I'm not sure of the exact dates. But prior to that, everything was written in Jawi. So as an aspect of the history and evolution of the language, I think it's absolutely crucial. And I think it's a good step forward to making the language more alive.
And you yourself did study Jawi back in school. What would you say has been the benefits of doing this?
Well, you know, what are the benefits of any kind of learning? Really, and I find that so much of education today is merely discussed in utilitarian terms, whether it's any use for us. Let me remind you that, you know, a great philosopher said all knowledge is actually quite useless. So the point of learning is learning itself, I would like to think, but maybe I'm, you know, rather eccentric in my views. But I learned Jawi in the 1970s. It was a subject on its own. It was taught by the school's ustaza, Ustaza Aziza. And of course, for me, it's been of great benefit because, you know, I deal a lot with Malay manuscripts. I deal with historical materials, so it's been invaluable.
You alluded to this a little bit earlier as well. What is the significance of Jawi when it comes to Malaysian heritage and culture?
It's absolutely crucial because you have to understand how a language evolves if you're going to study that language. There's really a lot of confusion. I mean, there are people who are talking about it as being a process of Islamization. Look, Jawi is not Arabic. It is the use of the Arabic script to write in Malay. And we have languages all over the world, from Urdu to Turkish until it became Romanized. We have Farsi. They all use the Arabic script. But it is not the Arabic language. So, you know, all these things are very complex and they need to be discussed in a rational and knowledgeable way.
And in your opinion, why do you think this proposal has sparked so much backlash?
Because we are all haunted by a culture of victimology, and we constantly think we are being victimized every time something is being introduced that is kind of strange or alien. I mean, very few people from this whole furor over this over the introduction of Jawi, it seems that people cannot even describe or explain very much about the history of the Malay language. They can't distinguish between what is script and language. And so it's really quite inane, if you ask me.
That was Edin Koo, founder of Pusaka. And, you know, he pointed out a lot of issues that, this announcement has sort of revealed, right? So part of the problem is that there are things about this move that aren't clear. The Education Ministry is saying that they're going to include Khat in the BM syllabus, but does that mean that they're strictly teaching it as calligraphy, as in the artistic sense of it? Or, you know, if it's being taught as part of BM, it does seem to imply that the students will be learning it as a written language. You know, and Dr. Mazli has said that one of the reasons that this proposal was made in the first place is because they want it to, you know, they want it to be an important, to be recognized as an important part of the Bahasa Melayu heritage, and to so that students can recognize it as a national treasure. That then again goes back to the idea of recognizing it as a workable language rather than just learning how to draw the lines. And yes, this I think this confusion is something that the ministry does need to be a little clearer on. We do have some thoughts, I think, from people who have taken our poll and also WhatsApped in some thoughts.
Yes, so we have a WhatsApp comment from Goh who said, I didn't take Jawi classes seriously back in school because I didn't understand the context of it. But in hindsight, considering my interest in Malay culture, I regret not knowing basic Jawi. And as Malaysians, it's a shame that we don't even know how to read the Jawi script on our national emblems. And we also have another WhatsApp from Cheryl, who's a parent with a young child. And she says, I have no issue in theory about him learning Jawi or Khat, but what's important is how it's taught so that children learn the beauty of the script and gain value from it by being able to read different types of literature, for example. But unfortunately, our education system doesn't have a good track record when it comes to introducing new concepts to our syllabus, especially when every new education minister wants to change something just for the sake of making his mark. So I don't have much faith that this move is actually going to benefit children learning.
And what about our Twitter poll?
So on our Twitter, we were asking you, is Jawi or Khat an important part of our Malaysian culture that should be preserved? So 66% of you said yes, 34% of you said no. We also received a couple of WhatsApp comments from Amar Singh and another person who's also saying that no, it's not important enough to be preserved. And we have Precious Bloom who tweeted in to say that it's not a Malaysian culture, it's a Malay culture. So it should be optional instead of forcing it. So if some people think it's important for your culture, go ahead and learn it. As for the rest, we want our children to learn something of use.
You know, When I think about Jawi and how its origins and how it is tied to our Bahasa Melayu, right? I think when it comes to learning it, it would add some depth to what we learn as a language and as Malaysians. So it doesn't matter, the person tweeted earlier, whether you are Malay or even if you're a non-Malay. I think that as Malaysians, learning that part, that aspect of our language can be very useful. Whether or not it's going to be useful on the international stage, I think it helps to know your culture.
I think this is part of the part of the mentality that we always have when it comes to education. How is it going to help me? How is it going to get? But Edin did raise a great point earlier that sometimes learning for learning's sake can have many intangible benefits to you as a person. And some of this whole, is it Malay culture? Is it Malaysian culture? It does remind me of similar hesitation or resistance that many non-Malays tend to have in Malaysia about the Malay language itself, where they often feel like either it's not important or it doesn't relate to them. For me personally, I feel like, you know, my ancestors may have come from India, but I'm Malaysian and Malay is a part of being Malaysian. The same way if you grew up in France, French would be a part of your identity as well, because it's part of assimilating into a nation. And for me, I would personally feel that if historically Malay was written in Jawi, then learning it even nominally as part of the language makes quite a lot of sense.
I think I share the same worries that Cheryl mentioned earlier about how they're going to teach it.
Right.
Because especially nowadays, we see the education ministry introducing quite a few things, but then the execution of it is always something that many people question. And I think that's also one of the reasons why there's quite a lot of criticism that's come up about this, because if you're just going to teach it as, okay, you learn how to write it, but then without any context to the history of it, like you say, Kelly, then I don't know. It feels like more can be done in that case, but we still don't know for sure how exactly they're going to roll this out.
What do you think about the suggestion that it should be taught under something like art rather than under BM?
I think that if you I think it's a great form of art. Calligraphy is always beautiful, but if you were to teach something so alien like that to kids, there, you know, especially without context, it wouldn't be the same. They wouldn't be able to appreciate it for its art. And how do you write in a language that seems so alien to you?
Yeah.
Without understanding what is spelled out or what is being written. So even if it's going to be taught in an art class, I think that would take a lot more effort. It would take a lot more resources to help them get into that mind and to be able to create something artistic.
Right, rather than teaching it within a context of language, so then you understand it within that context, right?
I'm not sure how it's going to be rolled out, really. It could be just a few pages. It could maybe be just for that year. But it's, I think anything you learn can be useful in some shape or form.
Well, that's the other thing that a lot of people are pointing out, right? The fact that, but there are so many other things that we could be teaching our kids. Why focus on Khat? And I think all sorts of suggestions, from civic consciousness to finance management to coding.
And coding is exactly what one of our listeners wrote in. Benji was saying, how many historians do we need? Why not start teaching coding to our kids? Because it's the future and can be monetized more easily. Look to the future, not backward. Do we want to create the next Bill Gates or Noam Chomsky?
I think we'd want to create both.
Yeah. And I think that you can still teach all of those things with the inclusion of Jawi within the syllabus. I think the confusion is that we're not talking about introducing Jawi as a separate subject. It's perhaps maybe a chapter in the syllabus.
Actually, someone pointed out in an article that I was reading that really it's going to be something like 6 pages within a 140-page textbook. So it's not a significant chunk of time. It's going to be a very small part of the Bahasa Melayu syllabus. So, I mean, I'm a big fan of kids being taught coding, I think, by all means. But one doesn't have to exclude the other, I think. And maybe if we start, I'm not sure, like, I feel like they're separate issues and it's all coming together because people are just frustrated with the way education has been implemented here.
I think it's because there's no clear plan, isn't it, to what it is that should be changed, what the education ministry wants to change. Rather, it's just a bit here, a bit there.
Yeah, and that's the most important thing here, is that it should be implemented correctly and properly, and the teachers who will be teaching it should be trained to do that in a very conducive way as well.
Yeah, because I do understand and maybe even identify slightly with some of the fears that are being expressed. Someone on Twitter who talked about someone else's culture being imposed on you. You know, as a minority in a country, those are fears that are quite real, especially when, you know, in the public sphere, there are so many discussions where, to the extent of being told to go back to your country or whatever, it is significant that these fears, people do feel these fears. So when you want to include something like this in the education syllabus, the people who teach them need to be trained to handle it well, effectively and sensitively as well.
Sorry, and we have Mina commenting here that, you know, she wouldn't mind picking up again, but only if the person that she's learning from is a good tutor. So the last time I learned Jawi was during Pendidikan Islam class, and I had a lot of hard time practicing because of the teacher who was teaching it. And also to add, I think it should be taught in Bahasa Melayu that, then as a calligraphy art subject, because it's to learn about the origin of the language, like you mentioned, Kelly. So I think this goes back to a lot of points points about every time when you're learning something new, you want a teacher who can actually teach you well, who can make it interesting for you so that students will actually take an interest to it.
Yeah, and if done well, I think it would actually revive a love for the language as a whole rather than thinking of it as something to pass an exam.
Yeah. And was it Edin? I can't remember who Edin who said that we our emblem has Jawi writing as well.
I'm not sure if Edin said it. It might have been one of the articles that we were looking at earlier.
Yes.
Yeah. Any final thoughts from our Twitter poll?
So we were asking you, is Jawi Okat an important part of our Malaysian culture that we should preserve? So 64% of you said yes, but 36% of you saying no.
Well, you can continue to keep the conversation going at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us also at 018-789-8899. We are also on Facebook. You can check us out at BFM The Bigger Picture. So if you've missed any part of our show, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my/dailydigest from the BFM app and also on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Earth Matters, Kelly and Issa will be sticking around to talk to Suzanne Mooney, who is the founder of the Lost Food Project, on cutting down on food waste. So we will leave you now with the Foo Fighters singing Learn to Fly, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.